You know, friends, I never dreamed that in 1955 I was living in a federal prison in Fairbanks, Alaska. I had 5 counts against me. One of them, the serious one, was trying to beat up on a police officer. The other one was trying to resist arrest and a few other things. But I never dreamed there would be a day in my life when God would be good enough to me to deliver me from alcohol and to give me a new life. And believe you me, tonight on this broadcast, I want you to know I feel blessed. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, in the 6th verse, it said, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Friends, one time, my wife and I was so broke we couldn't pay attention. I was living in Bellingham, Washington. I was an associate pastor of a small church, and they were supposed to pay us $80 a month, but they never did get the money together. Our rent was $80 a month. I couldn't find a job, so I just went out, and in those days, logging and fishing was a big main thing there. Well, I couldn't log and I couldn't fish. We had nothing in our house to eat but two pounds of navy beans, and I found an old wilted carrot and an old wilted potato, and I put them on the stove to simmer on a Saturday night. The next morning, about 6 o'clock, I guess what time, the Lord woke me up, and I smelled those beans, and I thanked him for them, because that's all the food we had left. Well, in about 7 o'clock, there was a ding on the doorbell. I went down the door, and here was a perfect stranger standing with a Safeway sack with 2 loaves of bread sticking out of it. He said, "Are you Pastor Cecil Moe?" And I said, "I am." He said, "Well, the Lord sent me to give this to you." And I said, "Well, thank you, brother. God bless." I got in the house and opened up that sack, and it was 2 loaves of bread, a great big ham, and a $20 bill. My stars in the morning, you talk about navy beans tasting good with ham. Anyway, to make a long story short, here I was, couldn't get a job. I was out of gas in my car. I couldn't go out and look for work, so the night before, it was nasty, rainy, and I prayed, and I said, "Lord, you know I won't let my family starve, and I know that you won't let me starve or my family, so please find us a job tomorrow." The next morning, I got up. I started out walking downtown, and it was, like I say, a nasty, rainy day, and I come down to this old building. It said, "Jesus Saves" on the front of it. It looked like it should have been torn down, and I walked into this rescue mission. I said, "My name is Cecil Moe." I said, "I'm looking for a job." He said, "Well, you found the right place." He said, "I'm looking for a truck driver." I said, "Well, I can do that." He said, I'm paying $80 a month. I thought, my stars in the morning, 80 a month, my rent's 80 a month, and nothing to eat on. I said, "Well," I said, "I'd take it, but I can't let my family starve." "Oh," he said, "there's plenty of food here. Don't worry. We'll get you plenty of food." And you know what? I started the next day, and they brought a man in there, and he was an Indian. And that man had been in the penitentiary. He'd been in reform school most of his life, 8 years in the federal pen. I said, "This is your helper." And this Indian guy told me, he said, "I hate preachers and I hate God. Don't mess with me or I'll poke your face out." And you know, I started loving that old Indian, Lummi Island Indian. I prayed for him. He said, "Don't you ever ask me to go to your church." I said, "I won't." One night I asked him if he'd come over the next day, Sunday, for Sunday dinner with me and my family. He said he would, and so he came over there. My little daughter had just learned to sing "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," so she was working on it, singing. And the next day he met me at the office, and he said, "Cecil, yeah, I've never been in a Christian's home in my whole life." He said, "But I saw love. I saw that little girl knew more about Jesus than I did." To make a long story short, a friend of mine was a pilot, and he used to fly film over to the islands. And so he called me one day and said, "It's a pretty day for flying. Would you like to go with me?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Joe, you ever been in an airplane?" He said, "Never have." I said, "Come, go with us." We put old Joe, he had one arm cut off in prison, and so we got in that airplane, and boy, it was turbulent, and old Joe was so scared, and I said, "Joe, are you afraid?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "We might crash." I said, "Joe, if we crash, absent from the body, present with the Lord." He said, "That's my problem. I'm not ready to die." Well, friends, one day I made a mistake, and I invited Joe to come to church. I said, "I'm speaking Sunday night, and would you come?" I said, "All right." So him and my pilot friend came over to the to the service that night, and during the invitation, Joe Hoskins held up his hand. And I said, maybe you want to trust the Lord and you're afraid. Take your next door neighbor by the hand. And he took Ted by the hand and came down and crying like a baby. And he threw his arms around my neck and hugged me. And he said, well, Brother Mo, if you can't beat him, I guess I ought to join him. Listen, that changed that man so much. People all over town says, what happened to Joe Hoskins? He'd beat up every policeman in town. He'd beat everybody up in the mission but me and the director. And we got to speaking at different churches, and Joe would tell them. He said, I was raised in an alcoholic home. I never heard my mama or my daddy ever tell me they loved me. He said, you know how I come and become an alcoholic? He said, I was an altar boy in a Catholic church. And he said, they had real good wine, and I would steal that wine. That's how I got sent to reform school. Well, one time I got a call from a Christian Businessmen's Association. They said, we're having a deal up in the mountains, and a retreat, and there's going to be about 400 or 500. We'd like to have you and Joe Hoskins come and attend. So Joe and I went up there, and that night I was supposed to speak, and Joe was supposed to speak. But I looked at Joe, and I said, Joe, I don't want to speak. I want you to tell these men what Jesus has done for you. Well, listen, he got up there, and tears streamed down his eyes, and he said, you know, I was going to tell you what a bad person I was. But tonight I want to tell you what a wonderful Savior I serve. There wasn't a dry eye in that place. Joe Hoskins had found peace with God. Now see, Joe, the Lord had a purpose for my life, for being in prison up in Fairbanks. God had a purpose for Joe Hoskins when he came to the rescue mission from the penitentiary. And beloved, God has a purpose for your life. But you see, he cannot reveal that purpose to you until you've come in the front door. And like Nicodemus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, you have a physical birth. We've all had the physical birth. But Jesus said, that's not enough. Ye must be born again. So, what happens when you're born again, God takes out that heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. And then he will start revealing. He'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and then he'll start revealing his perfect plan. See where people make mistakes, especially people I deal with in penitentiaries, women and men both. Some of them don't get into the Bible. Friends, you will never amount to a plug nickel. Your walk with Jesus will never be good as long as you stay out of his book. See, there's a lot of questions. I've heard people say, oh, there's so many contradictions in that Bible. No, there's not. There's not one contradiction in this book. And then you need to find out what he wants. Now, after I was saved, now listen, I was so embarrassed. I had never been to church but one or twice in my life. And so I went to this church, to this pastor who led me to Christ at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the deacon said, I'm Deacon so-and-so. He said, welcome to our church. And I went in and sat down and listened to the preacher. What a beautiful message he preached that day. And you know what, friends? The people hugged my neck and shook my hand. They knew I was a town drunk because Tom had told them, the pastor told them I was. And I went home. I said to my wife, she said, how do you like church? Oh, see, I said, Jean, it was the greatest thing. I said, they even hugged my neck. She says, what kind of a church is that? I said, I don't know. All I know is they hugged my neck. And you know, that went back to church that night, and another good message. Now, my wife was a do-gooder. She was lost. She didn't know Jesus. She'd went to church, but she'd never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And she kept hearing, he must be born again. And she used to tell me, she didn't like that. Made her mad. Well, finally, one night, she asked me, she said, I didn't do what you did, drink, smoke, and cuss, and all that. I said, but Jean, the Bible said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that night, my wife bowed her head before God and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, just like my husband was. And I know there's been a tremendous change in his life. I left the house drunk out of my mind. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I came home at 6:30 in the morning, and there I was, cold, sober, and born again. Listen, friends, you might have an alcoholic friend or a loved one, and you've given up on them. Don't give up on them. Listen, they hurt. They hurt just like anybody in the world. And the only hope that an alcoholic has is Jesus. You say, well, how about AA? Well, AA does a good job, but they can't do the job that Jesus does. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, let me ask this. Would you like to know a little bit more how to help alcoholics? Well, here's what you do. You contact me. I've got a movie of my life, and there's two books out about my life, and an Unshackled tape. I'll do everything I can to help reach your loved one for Christ. You contact us, the announcer will tell you how to get a hold of me. And if you want to write me and say, hey, give me your loved one's phone number, I'll be more than proud, no charge. I would call him and share Jesus with him. Now you say, Cecil, but I'm lost. I wasn't an alcoholic, but I'm not saved. Would you like to be? Is there a tugging at your heart right now? And you feel, oh, I just want to get right. All right, here's a prayer that'll change your life. Bow your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. For Jesus' sake, amen. Then I want you to contact me, write me a letter, email me a letter. And if you'd like to have me talk to one of your loved ones or friends, or you'd like to purchase a film or books, whatever, you let me know. I don't care where you go to church. I am concerned where you spend eternity. And friends, I mean that from the depths of my heart. You know, I love you, but more than that, Jesus loves you, and he died for you, and he wants to give you peace and joy. He stands with outstretched arms tonight saying, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now listen, be sure and get a hold of me. I want to talk to you. I want to share with you. If anything I could do to help you, that's what I do. Well, friends, until this time next week, same time, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.